accession number 11038, reel 9.
Mr. Bill Towers, reel 9. You were talking about when you the daughter of the house took you out for riding.
Right. We went round the country lanes. She was about my age. And she said, we'd have struggled for me to get up because it was ice heat on the little step. But they got me up. And then I used to drive. And we'd talk and go round country lane. It was lovely. I thought, gorgeous. Went weather was fine and that. And go round. And then go back and they'd take the horse away. And then she'd go on her duty and that. And we'd had a nice tour round and that. And just passed time on everything. And then it came to Sunday morning, and all the fellas walked to church. Well, the drive was nearly a quarter of a mile to the road, and then the church was down the road. And, of course, I didn't go out, and I sat there reading the paper one morning in the lounge. And Matron go, oh, she said, I'm really sorry, Mr. Tower. What, Tower? You can't go to church, can you? I said, no, I'm afraid not. It's too far for me to walk down. She said, and certainly you're going with us in the car. Oh, God, I thought I have to go to church now. And they came with a car, a great big limousine car with a chauffeur, and got me in with the front there, and they were all in. It got me in anyway. And when we got out of the car, I went to go down, going down the aisle, I went to that side where all the boys were to get in with them. She got on my arm. Madam, come on, this way. I had to go in their private pew. Well, it sort of jeers that I was getting from them fellas in private pew. And, you know, it made me feel as though life was worth living. But I started getting too serious for Daphne. She was getting struck and I wasn't. And that. And
who's Daphne? Sorry.
Daphne, the daughter.
What, you think she was falling for you?
Yes, I... Because there were quite a few around that wanted the photographs taken, and she had the advantage. She used to get me to take her for rides round and all like that. So I thought, I'm always getting out. Not in my line, there's a different class.
You felt that?
I felt it.
You mean that she was a different...
A bit classier than me, but she never showed, never made it like that. She was very friendly.
So what did you do?
Well, I had me up, and I was... with this lady then, I'd went right into her and that. So my mother had been ill and she'd had operation, so I said, would it be impossible for me to go home? She said, certainly, you can go, we'll get your pass. And they sent chauffeur down to the train, to put me on the train, and she said, you'll be able to manage when you get up the other side. I said, oh yes, and get a taxi there. Right. And now he'll be waiting for you on such and such a train. But I was not on that train. I stopped another day. Because I told them I'd missed her. She says he was there for hours all evening waiting for you.
Why had you stopped another day?
Well, I would enjoy myself at home. And that made me homesick. And when I'd been there, because I was with my girlfriend and that. Now, I'm becoming a normal person after 4 years.
Did you worry about, your girlfriend, with you only having one leg, worry that you might not be able to provide
but
for her?
I think certain people didn't want to know you. They were nice to you.
Who were they? They're
other young girls that I knew before. I'd known, I'd been popular with the girls before, but they didn't seem to want you to know you, and that. But this one did everything to help, and that's it, and we'll carry on like that. And
while you were at the convalescent home, did you hear anything about getting a limb?
Oh no, that was out of the question. You didn't know they were giving you limbs or somebody that said so, but it's a very poor thing of a limb. All we knew was pegs. Like a peg leg. That's what we thought we were going to have. I should have a peg leg.
That's what you thought would happen?
Yes, I.
So how long were you at the convalescent home before you started to get homesick? You went in about January 18th.
January, I should think about two or three months. Oh, and the feathers like fighting cocks, you know.
So, to the early summer or spring?
Late spring, I think. I'd come home on leave and I've got homesick, so I started grumbling. Oh, but before then, they had two huts on the lawn with beds in, and they're on turntables, and if the wind was blowing here, they turned it with its back there. But it was all open at front, and I thought that. I wish I could live in one of them. Because I'd lived out in open for 2.5 years in France. And one fellow was going out, he was a Freemason actually, and he used to take me, him and his friend were Freemason, he used to go out and have afternoon tea, and they'd hire a pony and something, sometimes take me, lift me in, and that, and go out and have tea, afternoon tea out. And I got friends with them, and to come and tell me we're going out. I'm going out, so he says that hut's vacant. If you fancy it, worse than it did. So I went to sister, and I said, "Will you ask Maiton if I can have that hut?" So she went. And Maiton sent for me. She says, "Sister says you want to go out in that hut." I said, "Yes." But she says, "Aren't you comfortable in this room?" "Oh," I said, "very comfortable." But, I says, "I've been sleeping out for 2.5 years, and I love sleeping out in open." And she says, "And would you really like to go out?" I said, "I'd love to go out." "Well, you should go out then." She says, "But I'll put one of my eiderdowns on for you, and I'll see the nurse, one of the nurses puts a hot water bottle in the bed for you every night." Oh, God. And it was a great big storm up there. I felt sorry for a young nurse having to carry this big bottle like that and put it in my bed for an hour before I went. I know it was marvellous. If the wind were blowing, they'd come up during the night and turn it round a bit so the wind wasn't blowing in. Oh, Lord. They did everything for you to make you happy. And then after the leave, I got homesick. And then I didn't say it was Daphne, it was getting too lovable or something. So I asked if when could I go home, because I said, "My mother, well, I'd like to be home with her."
This is full-time home?
Yes. Mm. Anyway, she arranged, she said, "We didn't want me to go, but she said, if you want to go," and I had to have a dressing on my leg, because there was something, just a little discharge at the time, and I'd gone to an hospital to have it seen to when on leave. And they resented me going in. She said, "We've enough trouble without you coming here, enough of patients." I said, "But I'm on here, I'm on leave, and they've asked me to come here." Right, and I did it. Reluctantly, I did it. Anyway, one night I was in bed when I went back, and sister come round at night and says, "Sister, have you a minute?" She says, "Well," I said, "Do you know there's something pricking on my leg where that sore, where it's discharging?" He said, "She took Clover's arm, got down, and she got tweezers, and it was a broken stitch that had been left in. And she pulled it out. And with not having it dressed right, it had worked itself out." And he looked after that, so I said, "Oh, that was when I wanted to go home." And I went home. And that's it then.
Did you hear anything from your old unit? Did any of them write to you or take?
Never, ever heard one word. And there wasn't 5 years, there was only 2 miles from where I lived, and they had reunions, and I was never invited to any.
So this business about the Bramley connection?
They invited the Bramley, I don't think they invited any outsider. It was only the Bramley people that went.
Did you mind that? Or?
No, I didn't. I couldn't care less. I know how. I didn't want to know anything about them. I'd had enough.
You went home. Now, do you remember when you got home?
No, I don't. Actually, I don't remember.
So May, early summerish.
Yes.
18.
I know. I went home and I was knocking about.
It's before the end of the war, anyway.
Oh, yes. And then the time came when I had to go, they sent for me to go to a place called Beckett's Park. Have you heard of Carnegie College? Well, that is Beckett's Park. It was a college that made it into a hospital. And they were building Roehampton, there was Linfitting at Roehampton. We had to go to Roehampton. But they was building a hospital in Chapel Allerton, a limb fitting centre and hospital, and it wasn't completed in time. So about six of us had to go in this little room they rigged out for us. And we just sat there and waiting to be measured. They measured you, went, and then for a leg, somebody come and measured you in the turn. There were only six of us. And,
what would they measure? Sorry, I know that's a daft question, but...
They measure you from this hip to the floor, you see, and from your knee and that, to make the leg, and around the stump and all like that. And they, when they took the measurements, that's it, you did nothing till you got your leg. You just sat there. But you could go home out at 11, get a pass out at 11, and come back for tea. But we never knew if we were drinking tea, coffee or cocoa. Oh, it was terrible. It was an enamel jug, cracked and not cracked, enamel chipped off, little enamel pots chipped, an old bed. So just got some old stuff and made it up. We're like pigs. And we sat there, and we never, food was atrocious. And that wasn't where in France. Anyway, I used to go home at morning and never come back for 2 or 3 days. And then when one night I went back, he says, Sergeant from RMC, from hospital camp, Towers, that is calling names, I got to Towers. Hey, how long have you been there? Oh, I said, been in here a couple of weeks, I think. That. He said, no, you've been going out. I said, when I've caught Roll, he's never been here. I said, well, are you sure? I might have been asleep. And anyway, he said, anyway, you're on peg this tomorrow. So to go to orderly office next morning at 10, prisoner. First time I'd been a prisoner in my life. And it was a Colonel Littlewood, who was a surgeon in the hospital, and they made him a colonel for money. But he didn't know anything about military work. And a little sergeant major, RMC sergeant major, never slept out of his bed one night. And said, I understand, the sergeant says, you've been going out and stopping out at night, and been out several nights. He says, what days did you go out and what night did you come back? I said, I didn't say I hadn't been coming back. I said, he said, well, the sergeant said, well, I said, if he knows, he knows that. But I haven't been saying. Well, he said, will you write it down on paper, that the times you went out and the time you come back? I said, no, it's him. I don't say that. It's him that's saying, let him do it. So, anyway, he said, look, we'll give you paper and pencil and come back tomorrow with all the figures on. So I went back next day, handed him paper, it was blank. He said, nothing on. I said, no, like a sergeant won't fill it in, and it's him that knows when I went out, when I came back. So, Sergeant Major, warrant officer, said to him, whispered in his ear. He said, oh, well, we'll give you 28-day CB. So we can't go out to camp anymore for 28 days. Right, march me on. On report of the day to the orderly office. Right. So, the orderly office was down a corridor. I used to walk down on my crutches, get all the bottom up crutches, and bang, bang. I'm here. Anyway, they stopped me going. It frightened girls in the office, so I didn't have to go again.
How did you feel about this, you know, this military discipline when you were... I mean, you'd been crippled in the army.
Yes.
How did you feel about that?
I'd have shot them all if I had made... They never slept out of their own bed once, and they're making it purgatory for
them. By that, you mean that they didn't go to the front themselves?
No, they never... They were at home, living at home. And just going there to do their work.
It seems like, from when you got wounded... Your treatment had gone up and down. Up 1 minute
and down.
You were treated badly,
yes,
then well, and then
yeah.
Is that how you feel about
yes,
it? Don't let me put words.
Yes,
in.
No, it is so. And certain people were all right, but these people in this hospital were terrible.
So you were waiting. How long were you waiting after they measured your leg?
Well, it was waited till the chap come up in the place to measure for a leg. Oh, but the first, before then, they took me into a little room about the size of this with just one chair and a camera on a tripod. And the chap said, will you sit in that chair and strip all off? I said, strip off? What for? I wanted a photograph. Stripped everything off and sat on this chair, no arms, just a look. And he brought a Charles slate and a piece of chalk. He said, will you write your regimental number on? 775437. Wrote it on, that's it. Now, will you hold it in front of you? Like that.
In front of your chest?
Chest. And he took my photograph, leg and that. Now then, he said, will you turn sideways? I started to turn sideways to him and hold it here. So he could take that. I don't know, a prisoner or what. Anyway, they took photographs, and that was it. That.
Do you know what they were for?
No idea. Nobody'd ever had them. Only those that were there. Nobody knows. They won't believe it. And I had these two photographs. I bought two of them, sixpence each. And that. These stupid people who were near who thought that we were prisoners wanted identification. And they didn't know what anything. They were trying to be soldiers.
And what this thing about sixpence? I didn't catch that.
The sixpence for the photographs each. If I wanted to buy them, I'd pay sixpence.
Oh, they offered to sell you
one. Sell you one, sixpence apiece.
Did you take one?
I bought two. But I wish I'd had them.
You've lost them now.
Oh, yes, I've cut. But my wife cut the head off. She said, and all that lot. I cut the head off and put it in the locket. And that was it for
so
that.
So you had this photograph, then you were measured, then what happened then?
You sat and waited again. I couldn't go out, so you just sat there playing cards or anything. And somebody didn't want to play again, we just sat there in this grubby old ward. Anyway, one day, a fellow came in, a railway man came in and said to me, "Talk Mr. Towers." I said, "Yes, me." "Oh, right. There, that's yours." That was the leg. "And these are yours, and these are yours. Right, will you sign here?"
What were the other things he gave you?
Straps and things and socks. So it's sign here. I signed. "Thank you." Go. Looked at what the hell they would do with this.
No instructions?
No. Anyway, I'm trying it on and trying to fit it on. And these straps, I didn't know what the devil they did. Afternoon, doctor come. He says, "Now then, you've got your leg, haven't you?" I says, "You can go home this afternoon." I said, "Nobody to tell me." "No, you have to find out." And I put this leg on. I'm not lying. I didn't tighten it up long enough, and it was trailing. And I was on crutches, and I had a kit bag, and a quarter of a mile to go to a tram, and nobody helped me. And lucky for me, I hadn't been home for a while, as I told you. My father was coming up to see what had happened to me.
You met your father on the way?
Yes. And he took him. We got a taxi.
What did he think of the way you'd been treated?
Well, his language was blue. Think what a good God.
Did he make any official complaint?
No, I didn't. But nobody did complain to him. Who could he complain to? Nobody wanted to know anything about it.
How did you feel about that yourself?
I felt wild, but I got the leg and I was determined I wanted to walk. And my young lady's sister, married older, said, "Look, Willie, she'll have to persevere with it. It's like false teeth." I thought, my God, what a comparison. "You have to persevere with it." And I thought, "Oh, well." And just before that, I'd met a chap I used to know before I went in the army. And he was a socialist in them days. They had to be a socialist if they want to work at Co-op. And he just eyed me up and down. He said, "So I think, suppose you'd be having to live on other people's generosity for the rest of your life." Well, I said, "It won't be your bloody generosity I want. Goodbye." And I walked away. I thought I'd be determined. I'd show that fella if nobody else. But I don't want the generosity. And do you know that spurred me on, did that?
Do you think he meant it to spur you on?
No.
He was being unpleasant.
Unpleasant. And I think he'd just been called up and he didn't like it.
So the war was still on?
Yes, I did. And anyway, I got this leg. And
how did most people treat you? I mean, was that a common
Everybody looked at everybody were nice to you.
So he was an exception?
He was an exception. Oh, my God, Well, there were very few socialists, and he was one of them. They had to be socialists to get a job at Co-op. The only socialists have them job. And they were one. It was a nasty piece of goods. And he'd been called up, and he didn't like it. And they'd given me this. But it spurred me on. And eventually, I got walking on leg to it fine.
Did anyone ever tell you how to work it, or was it just...
No, no, nobody. There was nobody, nobody knew. And their firm had brought it, made it, I never even saw them.
Was there no instructions?
No.
So you must have got it wrong a few times then?
Well, I didn't get it on right at first time, and it was a thick leather socket, quarter-inch leather, had been moulded. And it laced up.
That was moulded to the shape of your stomach?
Well, what their measurements, not to my shape, but they'd measured me. And they made it to their measurements, a comb-like.
Would it mould itself to your stomach?
Well, that would be their game, but it didn't. It was too stiff, it was quarter-inch leather, like leather soles for your boots. And there was laces here. Anyway, I used to get a knife and pare it around where it was catching just... Till I made it. You see, I was a pattern maker in normal time.
So you paired it away on the inside, so it fitted your
till stomach? Till I fit. I've always been, I've got fitting legs, because I've been able to do them myself. Get them made approximate, and then make them right fitting for myself.
How long did it take you before you could walk on it, then?
Oh, I walked quite a bit in a day or two.
Would that be with or without your crutches?
Oh, without crutches. Just one walking stick.
So within a couple of days, with a walking stick, you were able to walk?
Hobble about, yes. And then I got till I walked out. Went out in it. Oh, I soon adapted to it. I think when you're young, you do.
How did it feel? Did it hurt at first?
Oh, it did hurt at first, Matt. But the trouble is, if you don't get them long enough, they put you back out of action. And that's the trouble.
You mean if the leg's not properly measured?
Measured, yeah. Now that's what's my trouble. When I get up here, my back will be terrible. We're sitting and that's it. But if I'm walking about, it's all right. But...
So you, after a couple of days, you were up and about. How long was it before you could walk almost normally, or normally,
well,
depending on how you look at it?
What you'd call normal now, about a week, I think. And I got till I walked for miles and miles. I used to go for long country walks. One time. I don't know if you know Leeds, do you?
Not too well, but tell us where.
Do you know Lawnswood? No, well, that's it. Now, it goes up, there's a war memorial there, and a crematorium, Lawnswood. It's on the outskirts of Leeds. We used to get the tram to there on a Sunday afternoon, walk right on the main road for about 3 miles to what we call Creskill Lane, and went down this hill there, right down that bay. I'm nearly 3/4 of a mile. And then we got onto the riverside, then climbed over the little wall, riverside, and walked under the river right to Otley, which was 7 or 8 miles away.
And how long was it before you could walk that far?
Well, a year or so. And I was doing that regular every Sunday.
When you went a long walk like that, would it hurt the stump or would the other leg get tired, or would you?
No, strange enough, sometimes your leg got sore. But it never bothered me somehow or other, because I had made it to look comfortable myself.
So just to walk around normally?
Well, I could manage it.
Do you think people would notice automatically?
Oh, they know they had one on.
You could tell easily,
yes,
enough?
Oh, yes. I got to that stage when it didn't bother, and then eventually I got a job.
Hang on, when did the army, because you were still in the army when you were at home.
Yeah.
Getting with the leg. Mm. When were you actually put out of the army, discharged?
Oh, God, that's another story. We had to go before a medical board.
When was this?
Just after I got the leg.
So it was still in 1918?
Yes, yeah, 1918, yeah. And this medical board, there were... Most of the bosses of firms, local firms, called this committee, and interviewed me. They said, what did you do? And told them. He said, can you carry on? I said, no, it's obsolete.
So this is the business about the terracotta moulds?
Yes.
When you said it was obsolete, weren't they doing that anymore?
No, they were all concrete buildings going up.
So So that had all stopped?
It all stopped. Concrete buildings were coming to go. And that. So that was it. And then I don't know what I was saying now.
You were telling me about the board.
Oh, the medical board, right. And they said, well, I think you could manage to sit down and sew, couldn't you? I said, oh, yes. She said, did you do any sewing? I said, well, I always could sew my own buttons on, do my little job. Mother had taught me. Oh, well, would you like to have a course of tailoring? Oh, I said, yes. So they sent me to college for a year.
And that was the medical board that did that?
Yes, this board. Minister Pension Board or something. And they sent me to college for a year, intensive training.
As a tailor?
And tailoring. I'm used to doing stitching, 8 to the inch and 10 to the inch.
Where was this college?
In Leeds, in Alexander Street in Leeds.
So you went there on a daily basis?
Yes, every day to work, morning and afternoons.
And how did you take to it?
Loved it. We were all fellas that was all the same, you know.
Well, there were other people who'd lost, wounded.
Yes, all wounded and different things. In fact, there was fellas that was in trailing before they come for a refresher course after the army. Anyway, I got...
So this year, when did you start? Would it be in 1918 or
1918, I should imagine.
Before the end of the war?
Yes. Oh, yes, because I know it, when we went to a cafe for dinner, I saw troops coming back, passing town hall.
Do you remember Armistice Day?
Yes. I do, and I was in this cafe, and remembered, I wasn't in the cafe, I remember it, but I remember...
What happened?
I remember going into the cafe for dinner, we sat at a window, and we could hear a band playing or something, and we looked down, and my own battery's coming home, passing town, oh, Lord Mayor, taking his salute. I think that one of the saddest times of my life when I saw them.
Why were you sad? Can you just
take I don't know. Oh, God, all them, they're all right, all fit. And there I am, in the crock. And they were coming back and being cheered and all that. And there I am, a wreck, and that, in a way. But it grew, right?
So that showed it up for you?
Yes, I wish I hadn't been there to see it, to see that my particular battery passing.
Did you feel bitter about what
yes,
happened to
I
you?
Yes, I did. I always felt bitter.
Did you think that the war was worth it?
Oh, God, no. It wasn't. It was a waste of time. If it had been sensible men, it wouldn't have never happened.
Did you feel it had been a waste, your effort in it?
Yes, I think it was. I learned it was a waste. You still, what the devil are you doing killing fellas that's nought to do with it? We have nought to do with it. It's under them in Parliament. They ought to let them have a battle between them if they wasn't satisfied.
So
if they could win, make things better, why didn't they go fight one another till they got it better?
But so you felt you needn't have been involved?
No,
and,
no.
And therefore you needn't
have... You lost your patriotism then. But,
you lost your patriotism?
Yes. Well, it did because it was... so stupid was the thing. You realise it was stupid.
Did it make you political at all?
No, I don't think so. No.
So you just felt a resentment?
Yes, resentment. That. Glad it was over and all like that. And,
did you actually celebrate yourself on Armistice Day?
No, I didn't bother. Well, because if you met some colleagues, you always went out for a drink or two and had a binge. Every night when I was at home, before I was courting, I used to go down to town. Meet troops, somebody that would come in and go in a pub, they'd always meet somebody, you know, and he always had a binge.
Would they buy, I mean, you lost a leg, would they buy you a drink?
Yes, oh, they didn't mind, we all paid us terms, because we were still in the army. I was still in the army, and they had the same money as them.
Were you in the army when you were training as a tailor then?
Yes.
That was army, wasn't it?
Part of the army, I think, I never got trained. I was still in. And then again, you got all your full allowance, for subsistence allowance and all like that. And there was a place in the centre of Leeds, somebody told me to go, and rations, you had rations, you know. He says, you're entitled to more rations. He says, if you go down to that place in Quebec Street and make inquiries, I went in and they were all like ladies there, sir. Now I mean, can I help you, young man? Well, I said, can I have some rations? Would you like, look? Would you like some butter? Yes. How much? £2? Yes. I'd finish it. I took my father down with me and I got £2 of this, £2 of that. In a kit bag full.
And this is while you had been trained as a tailor?
No, just before then. And I didn't know about this. And us coming back on leave could go and get special rations. I thought, oh, it was good.
Could you still get them while you were training as a tailor?
Yes, I think I could have done them.
But you did?
I don't think I did, because I hadn't time to go to see it. I was still at college when I should have been going there. It only opened so many hours.